that you should create a method whereby you can maintain this giving. You know, once these believers had honestly evaluated their ability, right? So they each looked at their ability. What does Luke say? Luke tells us that they determined to send relief. You know, so often giving doesn't boil down to our sense of biblical responsibility or even our ability to do so, but ends up being a simple matter of determination. This word determined, in the Greek it's horizo. We get our English horizon off of it. It literally means to mark out the limit or to appoint. It's to ordain. Because their generosity wasn't casual, they determined, which meant that it was intentional. They determined to give. They looked at their ability. They figured out what they could realistically maintain. Then they made a determination. You know, this morning, if we're operating under the premise that you ought to tithe, but you're just struggling to do so, determining the following two things will help you out tremendously. First, determine how much of your income, based off your ability, you're going to give. How much are you going to give? Now, while it's true that tithers, that among actual tithers, 23% give 10%, 54% give between 11 and 15, 14% give between 16 and 20, and 9% actually give more than 20%, never get hung up on a number. Now, it's true. 10%, there's some biblical precedent that this is a great place to start when it comes to your giving. But the Bible never dictates or commands a percentage. The key is to set a percentage. Like if your giving is willy-nilly, you'll never do it. But if you determine this is the percentage for this year based on my ability to give, and now I'm going to determine to stand or to abide by that standard, like you're one step further along than you were. I want to play you a video clip. It's about 3 minutes in length, but from Rick Warren and how he has determined how much of his income he's going to tithe. If you could roll it.
And I want to challenge you and you and your wife to make a decision to become more generous every year of your life. Kay and I made this decision 38 years ago. When we got married, we said, each year we're going to raise our tithe. So the first year of marriage, we tithe 10%. Why? Because God says, "It's you give me 10%. For end of our first year of marriage, we raised our tithe to 11%. The end of our second year, we raised our tithe to 12%. The third year, we raised our tithe 3%. And each year, we would raise it a little bit more. And on years when the cupboard was bare and we were barely making ends meet, we would only raise our giving maybe a quarter of a percent. But we wanted to be more generous every year than the year before. And on years I'd get a raise or have a windfall or something, we'd raise it 4 or 5%. But we kept raising it every. This last year, we raised it another percent, from 90 to 91%. I've been playing this game with God for 38 years. God says, "Rick, you give to me, and I'll give to you, and we'll see who wins." I have lost that game every year for 38 years. I dare you to trust God. I dare you to trust God with your money. You trust him with your salvation? You don't even trust him to tithe? Who are you kidding? If you don't trust him with your money, you don't trust him. The Bible says, if you are not faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will give you the true riches of God? Faithful in little, faithful in much. And so this lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the only antidote. See, every time I give, my heart grows bigger. Every time I give, I break the grip of materialism in my life. And every time I give, I become more like Jesus. And I want to be like Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I don't give to get a blessing. I get blessed, but I don't give to get a blessing. I give to be a blessing. So the antidote to the lust of the flesh is integrity. And the antidote to the lust of the eyes is generosity. It is the only way. Don't tell me you're not a materialist if you're not generous. If you want to know what really matters to you, let me see your checkbook stubs and your calendar. Because the way you spend your time and the way you spend your money tells me what's really important to you. If you spend more money on video games or Starbucks than you do on the things of the Lord, you got a problem.
Powerful statement, isn't it? From the proceeds that he got from the Purpose-Driven Life, the book, he ended up paying back all 30 years of salary to Saddleback. Wonderful example of someone who determined, right? They determined, this is our commitment. This is what we're going to do. But there's another thing you should consider. In addition to determining how much of your income you're going to tithe, hey, you might only start with 2% this year, the national average. Figure out what the percentage is, but then determine a method of giving that will work for you. It's funny. I don't want to embarrass Creighton. I'm probably going to do it. Creighton, our intern, randomly, as we were logging the money into the finances, we were the weekly tithe. He asked me out of the blue. He said, "Hey, how much have I tithed this year?" Now I know Creighton, and I know that here he knows that he should, and I know his heart that he knows that he should, because we've had conversations about it. And when I told him the number of what he had given that year, seriously, tears welled up in his eyes, because he just didn't realize that there was a disconnect like that. And so he goes, "Can you just take 10% out of my paycheck?" And I was like, "No, I can't do that, man. Like, that's not how this works. We don't, our tithe isn't a withholding." And he goes, "Then as a brother, when you hand me the check, can you look in my eyes and say, hey, you need to tithe?" And so I do that. And he's downloaded Square Cash, which is a free app, so that he can immediately enter in the amount. He sends it to the email address, office@calvary316.net, and it's immediately pulled out of his bank account, no charges. He determined to do it, and he figured out a way. I have another friend in the church that I'm not going to mention, had a heart to give, knew he should, struggling to do so. And you know how they figured out, the method they figured out to do it? I get an envelope of tithing checks dated for the next 6 months. And he's like, "If it's left to me, I totally ruin it. So I'm just giving you it all and just deposit the check on the date." I was like, "I'll do that." But there was a determination. There was a determination to do it. We have all different forms of giving, folks, to allow you to figure out the one that works best for you. For some, you carry a checkbook around everywhere, so it's really easy. But for others, you don't own checks, right? Which is why we have an iPad kiosk. And for some of you, you're like, "I need it to come right out of my account." Well, that's why we have PayPal set up. And you're like, I forget. You could set up reoccurring. Like, you figure out a percentage, you figure out what God's leading you to do, and then you figure out a method that you can maintain. A percentage you can maintain and a method you can maintain, because this will help you determine to give. The fourth thing is that never forget why the discipline is important in the first place. This detail that they sent it to the elders of the Church of Jerusalem, we're going to talk about what the word elder means next week, but this detail shouldn't be overlooked. You see, one of the reasons that giving is important in the life of the believer, and Rick Warren touched on it, is that it helps keep my heart and the money in my bank account into a proper balance. It helps me fight materialism. In Luke chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus would caution, right? And we've all quoted the verse. "But for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, Paul explains why it's important. He says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." You see, giving of my first fruits, it helps me remember that everything I have isn't mine. Everything I have is God's. Like my entire paycheck, even the part the government withheld for Social Security, I'll never forget. It's all God's. Like every bit, all 100%. It's his money. And it's his job to care for my needs. Whether it's 90% of that or 100% of that or 10%, it's his job to provide and to care, and mine to faithfully steward his resources. You see, this is why trusting a tithe to be faithfully administered by others is an important part of the process of maintaining this healthy balance. See, giving without condition, giving that first fruit back, letting it go, letting God, it helps sever any connection or power that money might have over our hearts. In conclusion, since this giving disconnect originates not in our brains that we know we should, or in our hearts that we really want to, but in our disciplines, we would be wise to learn from these believers in Antioch that we should take ownership of our church, that we should start giving in a way you can honestly maintain, that you should create a method whereby you can maintain that giving based on your ability, and that we should never forget why the discipline's important to begin with.